We have a reading from Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, at night when I cry out before you, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness or your saving help in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dread assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. From all sides, they close in on me. You have caused friend and neighbor to shun me. My companions are in darkness. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I bet you're glad you came this morning. Uplifting, huh? Well, throughout the biblical story, God is portrayed as being faithful. When God reveals who God is to Moses in Exodus 34, this is how God describes God's self. Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. And because faithfulness is the last word used to describe God in Exodus, it has the effect of declaring that God's character of compassion, graciousness, patience, and loyal love will endure or be faithful forever. But what happens when God doesn't appear to be faithful or worthy of being trusted? What does it look like to trust God when your world is turned upside down by a cancer diagnosis, or when someone you love is killed in a car accident, when you lose your job, when your marriage is failing? What does it look like to trust God in the midst of exile? And when we find it difficult to trust God in the darkest moments of our stories, we are invited then to follow the example of the psalmists, who express their deepest feelings to God while being in exile. In the book of Psalms, we are invited to come to God with our pain and find hope. And the book of Psalms is divided into five separate books that tell this one story. Books 1 through 3 of the Psalms follow the rise and fall of the Davidic kingdom, culminating with the exile of Israel. And the people of Israel had been taken captive. Their temple had been destroyed, and it seemed like God was no longer overflowing with that faithfulness. And the destruction of Israel raised the question of God's trustworthiness and faithfulness and reliability to fulfill God's promises to Abraham and to David. And so at the end of the third book, we find Psalm 88 and Psalm 89. And Psalm 88 is one of the darkest chapters in this book. And while most laments end with this note of confidence or praise, this psalm ends in complete darkness. The psalmist has almost just given up on God. But even in the midst of his despair, the psalmist maintains trust that God will hear his cries. And for the psalmist, this darkness is so overwhelming. Pain envelops his entire being, but the psalmist comes honestly before God, expressing his brokenness and deep despair. And he alludes to Sheol, expressing that he feels dead and accusing God of being the source of his loneliness. And toward the end of the psalm, the psalmist cries out to God for help. But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you hide your face from me? Attention in this poem is immediately focused upon the deity's body and the desired movement of that body closer to the psalmist. The psalmist's prayer reaches out for the face of God, a divine body part that is often said to give life in salvation. And then he begs for attention from God's ear, the divine body part that registers the faithful's cry for help. The body imagery describes the psalmist's situation that so requires this nearness and attention of God. And then it shifts to the psalmist saying that their soul is full of troubles, or better understood, my throat is choking on evil. This better captures this concept and signals the desperate reality of the psalmist. The throat is the soul, the part where we take in food, where we drink, where we get a source of life. That is the throat. And the dramatic character of this statement is affirmed by the intensity of the second half of it. For my throat is choking on evil and my life is close to Sheol. My life is close to death. And there's no polite pretense here. The psalmist comes before God with this raw emotion and honesty, offering to God his questions, anger, confusion, and pain. It's not separation that the psalmist desires. Instead, the psalmist's mortal core is desperately reaching out for that life-giving face of God. And without this reunion, the psalm suggests, the psalmist's face leads only to death and darkness, the final word of the poem. You see, let lament psalms teach the faithful that the ability to speak to God honestly is required for such a close relationship. And Psalm 88 demonstrates that God invites God's children to bring their unvarnished, raw emotions and deepest pain straight to God, trusting that God listens even when God seems silent or absent. And one value of Psalm 88 is its brutal honesty. Not all prayer is quickly answered. Not all distress has this happy outcome. If the Psalms ended happily ever after, then the Psalter would kind of be an unbelievable book. All those who remain in darkness despite faith and prayer find their voice within Psalm 88. And I can't tell you how many people I have been in conversation with throughout the years who feel that they can't fully pray openly, meaning they can't even express anything but gratitude or pleasantries because they think that's how you talk to God. They feel that their prayer needs need to be perfect, wrapped up in this wonderful little present that we give to God. It can't be too ugly. It can't have tears. Can't have too much tape on it. But what happens when we do that? In my opinion, it makes God feel superficial. God feels small, and I even smaller. And one of the best feelings is walking into the door, through the door of your home after a long, hard day. Because once you walk into the door of your house, you don't have to hold it all together anymore. You can be real with the people who love you unconditionally and deeply, those who are there for you when you are in pain or sad or happy and every emotion that you've ever felt. The mask gets to come off and the weight you are carrying gets to be set down once you walk through those doors. I think that's the relationship that God seeks with us. To not be handed this perfectly wrapped present, but rather a box that you struggled to get open and is now flat on the floor, a relationship that feels like walking into your safe haven after a long, hard day. Could you imagine if God was turning away from the psalmist just because they were too brutally honest about how much they needed God? Our suffering doesn't scare God. Our honesty doesn't offend God, and our darkness does not dim God. And this psalm does not dance around those hard realities of our existence in a fallen world. For God's people, there is such a thing as this dark night of the soul. And when we are experiencing inner turmoil, we don't always get to a settled place. And seeing that this psalm then doesn't end with that neatly packaged solution tells us that God's word is raw at times too. Psalm 88 tells the truth about certain hours of human life. Hours when God doesn't feel close or comforting or even particularly concerned. It tells the truth about the nights when faith is not bright or confident, but feels small and unsure. This psalm names the hiddenness of God, the hiddenness of the God who shows up in ways that feel like the opposite of what we expect. And throughout all of Scripture, God is candid about our weakness and our sin and our need and our suffering and the messiness that comes along with the human condition. And it's described without pretense in Scripture. And this becomes highly practical for those times when you feel ashamed that your soul is in such anguish and it seems like you'll never know peace again. Or when it feels like no one is struggling like you are and no one understands the depth of your grief. And in those seasons, you can flip to Psalm 88 and be reminded that God is not surprised by your questions. And God hasn't left you to suffer alone. Then with that truth in mind, Psalm 88 becomes this catalyst that then launches you into other parts of the Bible with the confidence that God can be trusted, that God is faithful. And the psalmist also teaches us, because he refuses to turn away from God despite experiencing this profound, deep despair. They emphasize that persisting in prayer, even when there's no immediate signs of hope or relief, is this profound act of faith that we can engage in. And whatever darkness you may be experiencing within, no matter how torturous it may feel, let that psalm be your guide. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't quiet quit the faith. Instead, take all the tangled mess of your hurt feelings and all of those abandonment feelings and take them to God. Cry out to God and don't stop crying out to God. It may not seem like it, but this is a true act of deep faith. And then ultimately, God is the one that you need, not the answer to your desperate pleas. And that Psalm 88 teaches us something at the heart of our faith. Sometimes the holiest thing that you can do is keep talking to God when you don't feel like God is talking back. Martin Luther insisted that God's most profound work happens under the opposite of its appearances. Strength is hidden in weakness, glory hidden in suffering, love hidden under what feels like abandonment. And Psalm 88 is not evidence of God's absence. It reveals where God chooses to meet us. And sometimes that's in the valley, not in the mountaintop. That's what God's faithfulness looks like. So Psalm 88 leaves us in the dark. But the God of the cross does God's best work in the dark, in fact. And when we grieve, God is there. When we doubt, God is there too. And when we shout at heaven, God is most certainly there, listening, receiving, holding, and shaping. And though Psalm 88 is this bleak lament that has no moment of hope in deep pain and despair, it seems to be coupled with Psalm 89. Which is a great hymn of praise for God's mighty acts in creation and history. These two psalms finish the third book, mostly consisting of lament, and 88 pictures this solo person going through something very raw and rough, needing God to physically come near. However, the community of God's people knows more about God than any one of God's people. And this is represented by the editor of the book putting Psalms 88 and 89 back to back. The problems of Psalm 88 aren't fixed with 89. Its vision remains bleak, but the community sings Psalm 89 in response. The community is reminding the prayer in 88 that God's steadfast love is established forever, that God's covenant with David remains in effect, and the chaotic threats to God's creation remain at bay. And the psalm and the book close with a call to God to also remember and to act on Israel's behalf. And so when you find yourself pleading for God in the darkest times of your life, may you muster up the courage to speak truthfully in those darkest times and moments, to cling to God even when God feels far away, and to trust somewhere deep beneath the pain that the darkness is not our closest friend. Our closest friend is God. And when it seems like you have forgotten that, I hope then that you hear the community singing that hymn of praise, reminding you that God is there bringing you out of the darkest valley, being faithful once again and can be trusted. Let us pray. God, sometimes we find ourselves in a dark pit, in a place where we can't see our future, where we can't see your light and goodness and love, in a place where it seems like we are there all alone. Help us to hear that hymn. Help us to see that we have a community that helps bring us out of that pit with your guidance, a community that shares your love and shows your love to each other. And help us to know that we never walk alone in that valley, that you will always be there right beside us, even when we don't realize it. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.